Hello and welcome to Launch. We're broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Ron Reardon. My co-host Bill McHenry is off today, but we have our producer Lee Cantor here. Lee, how are you doing?
I am doing great. It's a great day here in Atlanta. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Yeah, the weather is just perfect. Well, you know, Lee, on Launch, we focus on the launching of a business so that entrepreneurs can successfully navigate their launch. There's a lot of aspects to the launch, you know, the preparation before, the actual launch, and then the lessons learned afterwards. This morning, we're featuring Paul Adams of Adams Media. But before we get started, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Patents & More. Patents & More, protecting your invention and connecting you to the resources you need for success. Well, you know, Paul Adams is going to be our guest today. He's dedicated his career to publicizing, promoting, and marketing people, products, and organizations. He's been doing this for over 20 years in PR and media services, and he's consistently produced high-profile, publicity-generating media placements and a lot of award-winning communication results. There's companies and brands such as Nokia, McKesson, Lehigh Harrison, MCI, Hitachi, Barco, both health tech and consumer health firms and medical service providers that he's worked with. He's a member of the Society of Healthcare Strategy and Market Development at the American Hospital Association, and he's got a BS degree in business and journalism from Indiana University. Paul, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ron. Good to see you. Glad to be with you today.
Okay. Well, you know, I think everybody thinks they know about PR, but really, what is PR?
Well, if you ask 10 different people, you're going to get 10 different answers. You might get two people that say something in the same ballpark, but frankly, it's a lot of things just to create visibility and awareness around what you do, from be it a service provider or you have a product or a solution, which is now a lot of types of things that people sell or companies sell. And there's a nebulous word for you, but what you really need to do is focus on some of the basics that we probably all learned in some of our business education around what's marketing. And we all know there's four P's of marketing, but when you start to think of it, there's probably more in the realm of eight P's beyond just some of the obvious ones. There's psychology, perception, positioning, the process, the packaging, persuasion, promotion, and the last but not least, purchase, which is really what it really gets down to. So I like to try to tell the people I work with to think a little bit different than just product and price, that there are a lot of things you need to do to get out there to create visibility for yourself. So when people ask me what PR is, I like to say it's really what all of the activities you're doing to create visibility around your business.
How is it different than advertising?
Well, as they say, advertising is bought and PR is sold. When you think of anything within the under the umbrella of advertising, you're going to have to pay for that. Somebody may give you some free or maybe some make good time on radio or television time if you get that up to that level, or something that might be gratis or a pro bono, but typically, advertising, you're going to have to shill out some money for that, and I like to say it's you got to pay to say something if what advertising is, and for PR, you really got to sell it, and you got to convince the people you're talking to that you've got a meaningful message and they want to engage with you.
How about that? Well, you hear a lot today about media. What exactly is media?
Well, it's certainly evolved from just 10 years ago. When we look at media outlets and news organizations and some of the most traditional longstanding of those two institutions are rapidly changing. In fact, many newspapers are really in trouble, significant trouble. Television stations are having more and more time selling the advertising time they need to stay on the air. Cable networks who focus on certain audiences are having a tougher time selling and maybe having to become a little bit more innovative. But frankly, just about any kind of public communications forum or method is now media. It's a matter of can that media be something that is exposed to your key audience, or can that be pushed at an audience or some key constituents that you really need to have that visibility message or those messages conveyed? So kind of think about things from the old school, maybe what your parents had as media outlets, and then think about what maybe your kids, who have no idea of the type of media things that your parents had, now how they get their information.
But is Facebook media?
Well, it is rapidly changing. And I could almost say that you got 500 million followers. You better think about it as a distribution channel for your information.
But is that the definition of media, a distribution channel for information?
Well, I would say that a media channel needs to have some degree of targeting and some capability to attract an audience. This show, for instance, is clearly news and media. And there's things that we aren't even considering that are going to be coming through primarily internet channels, which are going to be more and more refined media outlets. You look at the capability for citizens to become journalists or reporters to convey information via cell phones, web cameras, flip cameras, instantaneous capability to get on the air, if you will, with just the touch of a few buttons and reaching a distribution network. I certainly would think that some of the main social media services are really competitive because, frankly, those are some of the things why some of the traditional media is not working.
Yeah, because I know with internet radio as opposed to just the traditional radio, if you don't hear it while it's being broadcast, it's gone. I mean, it's absolutely gone. And yet with internet radio, because of the podcast and the MP3s and everything, people can listen to it, at midnight or whenever they want to.
Well, that's what's really good about on-demand capabilities and for entrepreneurs, which is great. Because nowadays there's probably somebody who covers your market segment, your niche, or your specialization. And serving up something that is informative is much easier now than what it used to be, where you had to rely on making a media contact or a reporter and having that person have to educate that person, hope that they got the messages and the key statements or key points you wanted, and then having that reporter digest that and report that accurately. So we're in a situation right now where if you have something that you can make engaging, you can add a internet component to it, which this is why now with digital media, it's very important to include visuals and graphics in what you do, because that really gets people to pay attention. So that's kind of a long-winded explanation, but there are a lot of different media channels, but don't forget about the old school stuff, especially if you're in a niche market or in a vertical trade segment, because you'd be surprised at how many traditional markets don't do too much of the digital stuff right now, and some of the old stuff can still work properly.
Yeah, when you look at the old channels and media and the new media, how can you get all of those working together like eight cylinders of a car to really work for your firm, for your company?
Well, I think you got to look at who you're really trying to reach and how people want to have that information served up to them. One of the areas that I do a lot of work in is in healthcare. Well, people that are professionals in healthcare, your doctor, people that work in a hospital, people that process claims, they really don't spend a lot of time on the internet. They are surprisingly disconnected from a lot of the technology. What's very interesting is that's changing rapidly, especially from the top down. When you look at doctors, about 75% of doctors now use smartphones. Well, why are they using smartphones? Because they can manage their day. Well, they don't use anywhere near that amount of technology that they have in their hand, in many cases with their patients. So reaching a health professional, a traditional media channel, is a really good vehicle to use, because they will read journal articles. They'll read in-depth research, white papers, type of things like that. So having a detailed explanation and using many of the trade type outlets, trade publications that are in that market work versus people who are more technologically connected vocations.
Is that one of the challenges for you as a PR professional when you're working with a client? You really have to kind of understand what media does their prospect use and build kind of a program or plan around that?
You gotta really tune into how are those people you want to receive your message able to receive it via the medium that works for them.
Right. So even though your client may think it's sexy to have an iPhone app, and if none of their prospects have an iPhone or even use that, then that might not be a good fit.
Yeah, and frankly, a lot of times there's not a need to overproduce some things. That's a great example, because you have a gee whiz factor, and it seems like it's ought to be something that works, but gee, it's just not showing up. We're not getting the downloads. We're not getting the streams. We're not getting the uses of the apps. Well, it really does hit home on some factors like that. So I always like to say, let's take a step back and figure out what's the best fit across the horizon and look at which ones really reach your target. Because now what's so great is there are so many different mediums that you can use to convey your message. And maybe about the fourth level down is where that app really serves as a good shoulder tap, kind of reinforcement after somebody's discovered you through traditional media.
And I would think that you'd probably need to revisit from time to time different professions to see if they've kind of gotten in with the trends. I know recently I went to my cardiologist, and he had this little tablet that he had in front of him with a little stylus. And he says, okay, what happened last time? Okay, and what was your blood pressure? Okay, what is it this time? What medications we got you on? He's sitting there clicking through it, check my blood work. And I told him I wanted to renew the prescriptions for 90 days. And he says, tick, 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 tick. And he says, you're still using the same pharmacy? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, doop. He says, okay, they've received it. I mean, I just transmitted it to him immediately and gave him response that they got it. And then I asked him some questions about my wife. And he says, oh, what was her date of birth? And he immediately had access to the records and all like that. So I would think even the medical profession that, if you check this time next year, maybe things will be changing as to whether or not they use apps or internet or like that.
Exactly. And, what's great is a lot of entrepreneurs are seeing these opportunities and really taking advantage of it and being able to make money just from what examples you gave. But we're seeing a lot more people understand that there's a lot of different paths they can get to gather that information, which changes a lot of traditional behaviors, frankly, around information gathering. And as an entrepreneur, you really don't have to necessarily deal as much with the middleman in the media, the flow of media, news and media, to reach your target, which is a great thing. And that's what I'm helping out with a lot of the entrepreneurs and startups and emerging companies now, saying, well, it'd be great to be in the daily newspaper, but who reads the daily newspaper nowadays? And, okay, well, they have a digital edition. Well, that's great. Well, does that digital edition even reach the people you need that are under 30? Well, no. Well, maybe we need to think about a social media presence to complement what we're doing. So there is a mix. There are a lot more media and mediums that are in that mix now. And this is really what PR should help you do, is to create some clarity, allow you to communicate your unique selling propositions, and reinforce your market position and your competitive advantage. That's really what, when you come down to it, that's really a lot of what PR can really do for your business or as an entrepreneur. You really need to think about the fundamental building blocks of what you really want to do to create that visibility through these mediums.
Yeah. Well, I know that identifying your target market and the demographics really important. I remember seeing a clip from a Jay Leno show where he'd be interviewing some fairly young folks, you know, in their early 20s or whatever, and he'd ask them a question about American history, and they didn't have a clue. And then he would ask them, well, you know, name all the people on Jersey Shore. They just boom, 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 boom. They knew every name, okay? And what they knew, current stuff that was on TV, but they didn't have any idea about older stuff.
Well, and when you look at, just kind of getting back to what we started with, what really is PR, and it is somewhat of an art and science to promote a favorable relationship with your public. And there can be a lot of different publics. As an entrepreneur, you need to think about investors, users of your product and service, and possible employees, possible partners, analysts. There are a lot of different publics. When you were to seat everyone around the table and figure out, how do I need to reach that party or that public, you got to have a 360-degree view, or you might be focusing on the wrong person at the table.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, you know, when an entrepreneur is starting off, Paul, and they're on a kind of a shoestring budget and all like that, and they're trying to save money any way they can, is PR something that an entrepreneur can do themselves?
Well, they can try. If you ask a lot of marketing professionals, they will say that PR is your most effective use of your funds. There are some pretty good books out there that can help those who want to try it. Art and Laura Rise have written a number of books, R-E-I-S, and one of the most famous ones here in the last few years is the Fall of Advertising and the Rise of PR. And in that book, they really take shots at some traditional PR tactics, at media tactics that in essence were paid placement, advertising-driven programs, and say, well, wait a second, maybe you really need to be looking at being able to reach your really desired target, your influencer or your decision maker. So when you think about doing it yourself, sure, you can try it, but you're probably going to not get the results you're looking for. And in many cases, it's good to go ahead and give it a shot to have your expectations set properly.
But what's a mistake that somebody who's doing it themselves makes, and what can they do to avoid that?
Good question. Great question. Because so many entrepreneurs, business people, think that, well, let's just get a press release out there. That'll do it. Well, press release is fine. You better have something that's newsworthy to say, or something that is significantly recognizable as news. Otherwise, it's just an announcement. Okay, fine, make your announcement. But understand that press releases are not the means to get what you really want, which is a story. Press releases, the intent of a press release was to inform reporters. All right, here's the who, what, where, why, when. Okay, a lot of times now those type of press release vehicles are not in that. They're very promotional, and media types, reporters tend to just put those into the circular file or now the recycle bin on the computer because they're really not done more than scanned. So if you have something to announce, think about what really is the way to get a story, and a press release might be good for your website, but it wouldn't be the thing that gets you the story. It can be used as background material. So press releases are a traditional response to those people that aren't that familiar with public relations or media relations to be a starting point. They are a quiver, an arrow in the quiver, if you will, of all tools that we can use. But I wouldn't heavily weight a lot of success on a press release right now.
Okay. Well, you know, as an entrepreneur is launching their business and they're trying a lot of stuff, I mean, they do a press release, they do advertising, they engage a PR firm, and all of a sudden they start getting some clients, they start getting some sales, they're getting results. How can they figure out, well, how much of this came from PR?
Well, what's really great now is there's a lot more metrics around usage of news distribution services. It's pretty interesting to see that where we had been 10, 15 years ago, which was, well, the metric might have been advertising equivalency. If we were to buy an ad, and that ad was a quarter page of that media publication, it would have cost us X amount of dollars. So a lot of PR agencies would just say, well, to get that amount of real estate landscape in a print publication, it would have cost this many dollars. So we got a quarter page of coverage. So because media placement and PR has more traction, if you will, than a paid advertisement, and has some shelf life, it tends to be valued a little bit more, and the readership capability to have what is called pass along for multiple people to read that same article through that, let's say, magazine that's in the doctor's office. Those are all some metrics that had been used. But nowadays, you really can see how many people clicked on your story, how many people have forwarded it. What's really great, I think, is you start to see a lot of people commenting on articles or subjects. And that's actually, that kind of bleeds into one of my tactics that I like is to position yourself as an expert by commenting on topics and trends that you are very astute on. And Ron, I know one of your things is you really like to consider yourself an expert. You really study something. One of the greatest lines I ever heard is, you always should be an expert in something because you can always talk to somebody at a cocktail party because you're an expert at something. That's good. Well, you might be an expert on sound transmission in radio. So at least you have that to fall back on. But it is a vehicle. The comments or the opinions that are being solicited around a lot of media subjects and media outlets realizing they need to give their readers a chance for feedback and comment is a great way to get yourself on the map if you've got something very informative to say.
Are there any metrics that a person should be paying attention to when they, you know, do any of these things? Like, is it, if I'm going to do Facebook, should it be I have so many people like my Facebook page? Or if I'm on Twitter, I have X number of followers, so that's mm-hmm. a good thing. Or I got so many impressions because of a press release I mm-hmm. put out. Mm-hmm. Or I did a search for my name and it came up so many times. Like, are there any metrics that somebody who has, you know, is venturing out here that they should, like, what are the important metrics that they should be paying attention to?
Well, there are, I would say, readership and pass along, which are traditional terms, but now in the digital world are very much more trackable, in that someone spent time reading something about you and decided that it was worthy of letting other people know about. That process And then, as you know, when you go onto a lot of sites, you have all of the capabilities to click on the small icons on the add this or the capability to pass or share or tweet an article quickly to all of those first and second generation contacts you have through your social media connections. And so the digital pass along, which is a great metric that's out there about, and you'll often see, for instance, in most newspapers, they'll say the most read, the most emailed stories, and the most recent is usually the way they kind of rank them. So you'll see some of the media outlets recognizing that these are important things.
Have you ever had a situation where, like, you've gotten a client, like maybe a Plum media opportunity, like, say, an appearance on the Today Show or mm-hmm. something like that, where they're talking about their business or their book, and then they go on there, and so now this person thinks, oh, this is a home run because I'm going to be on the Today Show, and then they get back, you know, a week later, and they're like, well, that didn't really sell any more of my books, or I didn't have a noticeable increase in business.
Mm-hmm.
And they might look at that as, wow, that was kind of, you know, I thought it would be better. You know, like the expectations were higher than the reality. But then you can come in and then leverage that media opportunity for lots and lots of different things.
Right, because a high-profile placement is, if we will, sort of a validation that you're worthy of being national. Of course, everybody wants to be in USA Today or on CNN or whatever it might be on a national platform. But it really gets back to, you know, is that the best fit? Does it really reach the people you need to influence and decision makers or buyers? Because you'd be surprised how many entrepreneurs really can't tell you who their buyer is. They may believe that they want to reach a certain position in a department at a hospital. Well, that person can influence. That person doesn't sign the check. That person doesn't authorize the contract, doesn't approve the purchase orders or all of the type of things about, well, who's really stroking the check to buy this? And that's what's really important to think about working on those that are influencers. And there's some pretty interesting things about the attributes of who influencers are. Maybe we'll spend a little time on this, and we can get going on some things around how to leverage this. But usually have the attributes of influencers are there's activists, and these are the people who really want to get involved with their peers and the communities. So we're probably familiar with people who are pretty active activists. Kind of right next to that is the connected people. Those are the people that really have a large network of people that they can influence. Traditionally, this might have be considered the people that were very active in social networking. Well, social networking is not necessarily a dirty word in business anymore, but it's not necessarily what you're looking for. You want well-connected, well-placed influencers. So, Lee, you ask about the number of followers. Well, that may not be the right metric to really measure the quality of the people you're trying to influence. So it's great that I have about 90 people who follow me on Twitter, and half of them I'm not sure how they found me, but it's great. But I think it's really a quality versus quantity aspect of what you're looking for there.
So if you had 15 of the perfect prospects, that's better than 10,000 of the wrong.
I think you really need to look at the first and second generation of who people are connected to. This is, you know, LinkedIn can really give you some clues of who are the right people to work with. To really have as your contacts. Twitter's great. I like to let people understand that Twitter's really should be looked at more as like your alert system, your news wire, than having lunch at the country club with my best prospect. So that type of thing. So
The commercial I like is where the father is sitting on the porch and he's tweeting to his son and daughter, "I am sitting on the porch." And Dad, I know you're sitting on the porch.
Right, thanks to you. So, let me just finish up a couple more things on the people that are influencers. The impact, these are people that really are looked up to and trusted by others. Active minds, which are influencers that have multiple and diverse interests, and trendsetters that tend to be earlier adopters. And actually, trendsetters can also be early leavers. They can also be as much as a rejecter of a be it a technology or a trend as they can be an adopter. So those are important people to think about the scope of who can really influence. And then there are a couple of different rankings, if you will, of business influencers. So the market reach of the number of people that an individual has the ability to connect with, the quality of the impact, the frequency of the impact, and the closeness to the decision maker, or let's say a committee might be the decision maker. So you need somebody who's well-positioned, can really go to bat for you as an evangelist, and really can help that decision for purchase happen. So those are a lot of the type of things when you get down in the weeds. You need to think about media channels, specialty media, digital media, and maybe where we're going next, how social media might make that happen.
Yeah, when you talk about where we're going next, I mean, what future trends do you see developing in the PR world?
Well, what's pretty interesting to see is the traditional media's adoption of new media. Both digital media, social media platforms, and the realization that these other or new channels really bring some large mass with them. So why don't we use these large groups or these what's now being called crowdsourcing services to convey what really our product is, which is news, information, and opinion, onto this group? And as we've seen with how popular Facebook has become and how businesses have adopted Facebook, where it was very much a hands-off approach even as early as late as a year and a half, 2 years ago. 500 million people using a platform to stay informed about their most interested subjects or people that they're close to is a pretty powerful medium to get your word out. So it also helps you find, the quality out of all of that quantity of who might be worthy of you starting to create relationships with.
What traditional media is doing a good job online, in your opinion, and which aren't?
Well, we're moving towards an age where there are more handheld devices than desktop devices. So I think the traditional media outlets who realize that the power of the small screen or the handheld device to convey that information, and it may not need to be a quantity of information. It may just need to be something in the form of a text and a quick link URL that gets somebody the information they want. So the capability to almost narrowcast versus broadcast, because we're moving to everything being electronic. Visuals, graphics, charts are very important. People remember things that they see, not as much as what they read, and maybe not as much anywhere near as what they hear. But visuals really reinforce what's being said. So those media outlets that have recognized that are the ones that are going to be able to stay around. But when you fundamentally get down to it, how are those traditional media outlets going to be able to stay in business and pay the bills? Well, they got to prove to people who want to pay for advertising that they're a viable channel to reach the people who advertisers want to. So that's kind of really what it, when you cut the nut, that's really what it gets down to. Who's going to pay to be connected to a medium?
True. Well, Paul, it's obviously a lot more to PR than meets the eye. How can our listeners get in touch with you?
Well, I'm a big believer in making it easy for people to remember how to get in touch with you. So my domain on the web is prnmedia.com, which is exactly what I do. And so I can be reached at info@prnmedia.com. It's probably the easiest way for people to come and see what I do. I also tweet, but I use that on a measured basis, and I'm at Paul404. And a lot of times you'll see me in areas around health, tech, consumer health, things that are happening around that community. I try to get involved in discussions that are about where we're going. Just for instance, just like the example you made with your cardiologist, because those are good stories that need to get out. And I like to work with people that are thinking forward like that.
Yeah, it kind of blew me away the way he could so quickly access information. It's incredible. Well, thanks for being on our show today, Paul. Our listeners really appreciate you sharing your experiences and your insights. There have been some really golden nuggets there. So another great show, Lee.
And special thanks to today's sponsor, Patents & More, your trusted guide through the innovation jungle.
And go to our blog, thelaunchhour.businessradiox.com, to listen again to today's show, plus previous shows. This is Ron Reardon and Lee Cantor signing off another great session of The Launch Hour.